Lunchtime.
Whoo! I made it in the nick of time, brother. Let me tell you.
Coffee time.
I got a story. I got some stories to tell as soon as I get situated here, because I haven't got chat up.
Oh no!
I'm completely unprepared. And I'll explain when I talk about my morning. I'm gonna wing it. Gonna be a wing it lunch. I hope everyone brought their chicken wings, because they're just winging it today. Mm-hmm. I got the forum. Let's see. Lunch with Gemini. Okay, so I'm going to do the threads live unedited. I'm going to do the Twitters live and unedited. I don't know. First thing you might notice is, like, my beard, even though it got later shoved under a mask, I just got it trimmed up by my professional trimmer this morning.
Nice.
I'm so happy. This thing was scheduled. This thing was scheduled at 11. Usually, like, he takes about 15 to 20 minutes to take to trim my beard. He took like an hour and 15 minutes because we just wouldn't stop talking. Like, I've come to be genuine friends with this guy, and like, you know, we have a lot of family stuff to catch up with, like. You know, he's a big avid hiker, motorcycler. Like, he also does podcasting on the side. He's just a really interesting guy, and we just love talking. So, like, he's just like, and you're trimming your, you got it. Everyone's like, he just stand there for like 10 minutes. And he's also like, the other thing we talked about is they're not as busy as they were pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, I used to have to book this guy 3 months out.
Yeah.
I got an appointment 10 days after calling. You know, mm-hmm. like, so he had, that's what I'm saying, is he, not only was he anxious to catch up with us or catch up with each other, but like, he had plenty of time. And I, the whole time, I'm like, Jesus, because I had a fantasy of like, why is down there running errands? I had a bunch of errands to run this morning. I had a fantasy that I was 2 weeks past my last vaccine last Thursday. I might put my mask on, walk into a restaurant, sit at a bar, take my mask off. Have a burger for my brew burger or something, maybe a glass of beer while I'm downtown, sun shining. I'm walking around in a t-shirt. I'm feeling great. I just got my beard trimmed. And I'm like, I'd rather talk to Jesse. So I kept on having time. I got time to do, you know, I'm going to be able to get home. And, you know, what's it take me 30, 40 minutes to get the lunch notes together? I got time. Yeah. So I'll spend time with my friend. My lunch just started this, like, but I'd rather talk to Jesse. I get out and I'm like pressed, like, okay, I'm going to have like 30 minutes. Not only am I not going to be able to have a nice lunch downtown, I'm not going to be able to stop by like a drive through. It's like, oh, I'll just hit up Rallies and I'll just eat while I'm put. That's starting to be like, I'm going to have 30 minutes start to finish getting home. That's barely enough time to get notes together. I go to get on 71, the police, and I don't know why, but they've completely blocked every way to get on 71 North and 50 East. And those are the only two ways I know to get home from downtown that don't involve like tracking all the way back across the city, getting up 75, going in. And I'm like, well, that's what put me home late for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm now worming and fucking Google. There's no way to tell Google this is not a go. All of your suggested routes are bullshit. There should be a way to put a skull and crossbones on your route
right.
and be like, reroute around the damage, motherfucker. I marked all the lanes as like closed in the app. I thought that might do something. Nope. Google doesn't give a fuck. So I have to worm my way through the city that I barely know. And I find Pete Rose Drive, which hugs the river and puts me back on. But now, like, Google's telling me I'm going to get home at like 1:01, and they were bang on. And I came here and I sat down, and now here's lunch.
How's Pete Rose Drive doing? Is it kept up by the city? Is that?
Yeah, why wouldn't it be?
I'm curious, because Pete Rose had a lot of controversy. Yeah,
true. I think the city still loves him.
Okay,
I mean, they named one of the thoroughfares after the man, so it's not, they didn't rename it Shaving Points Pete Way.
Right, degenerate gambler
Rose Boulevard. Oh, we're on the DGB today. Traffic slow on the DGB.
I was just curious.
But yeah, no, maybe some other time I'll have a nice summer brew and burger, because it's like, man, I'm ready. I'm gonna go have a sit down meal And Cecily's another week away from having being fully invested in her antivirus powers.
Yeah,
but I'm like I was going to do a solo.
4 days away. Tuesday is my 2 weeks notice.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, mm-hmm. I'm excited about that. I'm going to go try and live a semi-normal life plus mask. So like,
yep.
Go to the thrift store, which I haven't done in a year and a half. Go to a restaurant, which I haven't done in a year and a half.
Yeah. I'm like looking forward to getting the going back to King's Island.
Yeah, maybe get
just
some
all of the things.
Double Dern action like, going soon.
We've had a lot of backed up stuff that we haven't done, you know, and we've always had some maintenance plans to do it in our house. I want to talk. You know, people have asked us for advice over the years, and I thought maybe it's time to take back because I am at a genuine loss about what to do about my foundation and basement. Here's the situation. My house has been, you know, it's about 100 years old. And so, like, there were some, like, foundational issues and whatnot. You know, there was, like, a couple cracks and stuff here and there. But like, all the windows open, all the doors open, everything worked fine. The inspection was fine. There was actually a structural engineer report from, like, 5 years before we bought the house that said, well, if you're really worried, you could do this or that and the other. But like, there's no like these seem like all stable changes and blah, blah, blah. So I started doing a bunch of stuff around my house. I replaced the front door and back door. You guys might remember me talking about that. And like 6 months after I did it, that fucking door was stuck shut. It would barely open. You had to like wrench it open and slam it shut. And a crack slowly started to form over our living room. And down like one of our little arches to go from our living room and our kitchen.
Not like, good.
Fuck. So it's like, OK, we're going to have to, you know, and this happened like right before the pandemic. So it's like, well, as soon as this goes over, like we're going to have to get this because we wanted to do windows. We were kind of wanting to do windows last year because all of our old windows mm-hmm. they're not original, but they're like from the 50s. They're like the, you know, weighted sill single sash pane. Kind of things and single yeah. pane just all wood construction. They're drafty as fuck. They've been upgraded storm windows, but the storm windows are kind of getting ratty and some of them are missing, and so we had to get all that. We're gonna get in, but you know, I wasn't gonna have a bunch of people coming in and out of my house during the middle of the pandemic, so we put this shit off, and then this stuff happened. So I thought, you know, my dad didn't raise any fool. He said, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, call like a sample of contractors out, have them give you your opinion and, you know, see, make sure they're all saying the same thing. And that then you can choose on price. You can ask for recommendations. You can blah, blah, blah. So, we get three people out here. They all have wildly different prescriptions for what to do to my basement. And so like the first guy comes out and he's very professional. He's got the chinos. He's got the dark navy blue
sign of
polo.
Professionalism. Chinos.
He's got a haircut that you can set your watch to. He's gracious about wearing a mask and he comes out in her basement. And he plugs in this moisture sensor and I'm going to let that run and collect data while I go about. And he measures some things and looks at things and takes some pictures. And then after he does that, he takes us upstairs and he sits us down in the living room and he's got his like think, you know, he's got his like they all fucking have the tablet. They got the tablet.
Yeah.
And they start running the movie about like here's what I've seen with your house. He points at this crack and this overlap and that overlap. And he says, you know, what's happening is moisture. Water's coming in. And it's draining down to your house and under your soil. And it's shifting things around. And you got to get rid of the moisture. And there's some outfits that will just say, hey, we'll just drill holes in your wall and we'll put in a channel and we'll take all that stuff. But that only takes care of the moisture like in the walls. It doesn't actually do the erosion. Our approach is we dig a trench on the outside of your house and we put this tile and it all feeds into it. And we dig down about 4 feet and then we go on the inside of your house. We bust up the 2 feet of concrete around your foundation. We put an interior sump. All that thing goes out to a sump pump and it's going to have like a battery backup something, which is something I've been interested in, by the way, that will run for like 7 days without power. And then once we do all that, buckle up. We got carbon fiber panels that we're going to attach to your wall and sink these big anchor bolts into the soil. So even if the fucking flood of Noah came Well, you got to break these carbon fiber panels and you can paint them, and like we guarantee it for life. Like if anything happens to your foundation, if anything, they will blah, fix it. And I'm like, and it's like $20,000. It was an eye twitching, like, oh God, I'm glad I once again have climbed out of debt so that this can happen. And I'm like, and he was really keen to having me. There was like a 10% discount if I signed today. And my father, again, raised no fools and said, you should always back away, put your hand on your wallet when someone starts pulling that shit. So I'm like, you know, I'm not going to spend $20,000 and then find out that I could have done this for 12 and, you know, ooh, I saved $1,000, you know. So I said, thank you. And he showed me some videos and stuff and it all looked good. You know, like it all makes sense. Like, okay, yeah, water and you keep it from getting out and you keep it from getting under your foundation. How the hell can things shift? And if it does, carbon fiber, boom. But it felt like overkill. I don't know. It felt like overkill for what we're doing. Next guy came out and he brought a whole team. It turns out that this was like some kind of training exercise where they had an installer, the guys that used to dig the ditches and do all the work. They're promoting him to project manager and an estimator. And they had an existing estimator and then the owner of the company there to like oversee the whole operation. I guess there's three guys. So they do a very similar thing where they hook up the moisture detector and then they walk around, they ooh and ah, and they look at this crack and that crack and shift up and they go upstairs and they say, okay, well, here's the deal. Most of these lying motherfuckers are going to tell a guy like you that you need an inside-outside trench system. And I bet you that a day or two from now, those people, if you've seen them already, will call you back and be like, you know, here at the office, we've looked at your basement photos and the engineers are getting another look. And it turns out we think only the inside job will do it. And they'll come back and he's like, because what you actually are having is the only problem with the foundation is up at like this one corner of the house. And it sank about an inch and a half. And you can mitigate it and stop it, but it's not going to stop the damage that's already happened. What we want to do is just put the inside trench system. And then we want to do these. We want to drive these helical piers like 100 feet into the ground to attach to your foundation and then jack it back into the original position. And once we do that and do the inside mitigation, we too will guarantee your basement for like 30 years or 50 or whatever. And if anything, blah, blah, blah. And they do it and it's like I think $14,000.
Okay. Option number two sounded pretty good right now. Not just the price. It sounds like they know what they're talking about.
Right. But he did a bunch of stuff that I just find personally distasteful. For example, the trainee guy, he berated. He's just like he wasn't like screaming and yelling, but he's like, I hate the way you do this paperwork. This paperwork makes no sense. Like, I mean, you're saying blah, 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 blah. Like if I'm a customer and I'm like, OK, like it's this is probably fair criticism either. But I'm like, it's putting us, me and Cecily are kind of like, oh, Jesus Christ, we're in the middle of a performance review. Uh-huh. Then the trainee guy goes into his thing and he uses the word waterproofing our basement. And the guy jumped in. And it's like, hey, no, we don't do water proofing. We do pressure. He said some kind of term of art. And it's like, you got to be careful, blah, blah, blah. Now, I have currently a folder full of this company's paperwork and brochures explaining the process. This company is called like Dry Tight Waterproofing. Every fucking in like 15 bulletin font says waterproofing at the top of every one of piece of paper. Hmm. The boss literally goes on and use waterproofing. I counted three times in the next 5 minutes. I'm like, ah,
oh boy. Okay.
And the hilarious thing is literally the
number three.
Literally the next day, the first company called and said, you know what? We've actually been thinking about your thing. Jesus. And we think they. So it's like, God damn, I want to use these guys. But also the owner's kind of a low grade prick.
Uh-huh.
And then the third guy came out and they said
just
essentially
with a big straw and a drill and said, I'm going to suck the water out. You got nothing to worry about. I'll be here every other weekend.
They literally said they're going to drink our milkshake. So this guy's like he wants to do an internal trench solution, but it's twice as expensive as the second guy. But his helical piers are like half the price of the other ones that are quoted.
So
I'm
sounds
like
you need two guys. You need a trench guy. And well, a helical
I think
pier
that's
guy.
the I think that's the play. Like, I take the second quote to the third guy and be like, I like your peer price, but like, is there anything we can do on this foundation thing? Because, and or can you tell me what I'm missing? Because that's the other thing. Sometimes they'll be like, well, we do this and this and this and it's bonus and blah, blah, blah. And that's, you know, like, yeah. I don't always go for the dirt cheap option. I try to like find
to drink your milkshake instead of plastic.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, that can get mushy. It doesn't feel good on your lip. So like, I mean, I'm obviously not going to sign paperwork for like another week or so. Mm-hmm. But like, is anyone having experience? Like, what the fuck? I mean, it feels like the first people have a solution. They have one nail, they have a hammer, and everybody gets that fucking solution, right?
Yeah.
Because it probably does a bang up job of solving everything. Like, if you collect water from the outside of foundation, the inside of foondation, and you put like, you know, 1/8-inch thick fiber optic panels that are like stabilized 12 feet into the ground that can withstand like 64,000 PSI. What the fuck can happen to your foundation? No wonder it's good for life. And like, what your carbon fiber is going to rot. So like, but it's like super expensive and it's kind of shady.
And
like,
it doesn't take advantage of people to like fix that corner, right? Like the and it jacking doesn't fix part the is the part that seems good to me.
Yeah.
Do both.
Yeah, it doesn't fix the corner. So like, I feel like it's the probably third guy, and I use the second guy's quote to beat him down on the, unless he says like, hey, the reason these guys are so cheap is because they blah, 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 blah. So, God damn.
Yeah, man, it's a nightmare. Contractors are not easy to find, good ones anyway. We've gone through a few just like handymen, kind of general contractors over the course of owning a couple houses, and it's always a hassle. We had our basement flood, but we didn't have any like foundational issues. It was all just right. Like water, you know, got in through some,
you need to just dry it up,
micro cracks, whatever. But yeah, we just need to dry it up and make sure that it doesn't crumble to pieces. And all of our fixes were irrigation, right? So just like putting a little bit of, drainage on the outside, putting in another downspout on the gutters, making sure that doesn't overflow. So yeah, ours was pretty cheap to fix overall. Sounds like whichever way you go, you're going to be spending a good chunk of change.
And it's fine, because like I said, that was a big concern when we bought the house. But the thing is like the structural engineer solution was like, and I've heard this before, like they essentially put, it's the carbon fiber solution. Only it was steel at the time, is these steel bands that they would like. Now, two of the guys shit on that idea of the solution of just the stabilization only, because it's like, well, you know, once you got the cracks, then it's going to be the water and then it's going to be the waterfalls. Like, I don't know, because again, this house has stood for 100 years and I just don't think we get that. Like, it's not like there's just tons of water and this is the only, you know, like, yeah, sometimes in spring it gets a little wet and this is the wettest it's going to be and all that. But it's like there's no standing water in our basement. We got our basement semi flooded once in a garage because the sump pump got clogged up. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I got it like unclogged, it was fine. But like, but yeah, like, you know, I feel like if I, you know, spend 12 grand and I stabilize the foundation and it's like it's got a lifetime transferable. I think all these have like a one owner transferable warranty. Like, you know, like our property values has gone up enough that like that's fine. And also I'll be damned if I replace all the windows, for example, in this house and then it sinks another 1/2 inch. And now all the windows on the, you know, south side of the house went open. And that's the other thing. It's like, cause like, the other guy, like, I thought that made sense about this one particular corner of the house having a problem because all the door that stuck was in that particular corner of the house. So I don't know, but it's a lot. Like I said, I don't mind spending the money on an invest, you know, like our property is rising and it's a place we're living and make it easier. And like I said, we worked hard to get out of debt. So I've got a little bit of overhead to do it. I just, yeah. If anyone's got like any insight into that type of situation, let me know, over on the forums or tweet at me or whatever. I don't care. So
cool.
There we go.
Holy shit. That's a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah.
Got a lot going on.
And I've got like four other things I could talk about, but this is just a shit. Yeah. This is shit that's, came up today. And, what about you?
I got something going on. I talked about it a couple weeks ago or a week ago. I can't remember anymore. I think I showed off that I got a couple packs of this Enterprise, right?
I think you showed like the box of the nacelle, but I don't think you actually showed the actual stuff.
So I haven't built a nacelle yet. I built the first pack, and this is it. It says decks 1 and 2. Here, let's do this. Look at this thing. This is, here, listen to this.
Oh, that's...
That's metal. Could, that's die-cast metal, could, baby.
Hell yeah, you could forge a sword on that anvil.
Probably. Look at all these wires. Look at these wires.
Do you know canonically what is on deck 2? Is that like where Riker and the captain sleep? Surely their quarters are not like a mile away from... They don't sleep with the family section.
I wouldn't think so. You'd want them on call.
I wonder if it's like...
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure what's on the second deck, but I know what's on the first deck. First deck is a bridge.
The bridge.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. There are... This whole thing goes together with screws, and occasionally some things just clip in or clip on. So I'm not going to have to do any gluing, which is nice, because I don't like gluing.
Yeah. Do you... So that, like, that thick of a piece of metal and screwed, like, that's, like, do you know, how much is this thing going to weigh?
A lot.
Like, 200 pounds?
Not 200. I'd be surprised if it weighed less than 25.
But this is going to be a substantial piece of equipment. This is not going to be, like, a plastic model that if you bumped into it, it's going to...
No, it's going to bump 27 back. And a half inches long or something. I have a poster. It's life size. I can't even show it all off. It won't fit on camera. But yeah, I had like, I don't know, 15 screws to put in there. This top part, this bridge part is like 3 pieces. And then this ring is a piece. And all these windows here are all like clear pieces that go in with a little bit of paint on them. And then you have to press in these little, I don't know, docking doors. I don't know what these are. Maybe the second deck has a bunch of docks because there's like this stuff around the side. But you press those doors in. Yeah, it's cool, man. I'm excited about it.
They might be supposed to be escape pods because there's a whole bunch of like rectangular like dark things that are all labeled as escape pods in this thing.
That would make sense.
The technical manual.
They're very close to the bridge, so that's probably where you would want some escape pods. The cool thing is, so I still have the nacelle to build, and I just got an email that packs 3, 4, 5, and 6 are shipping. So they should be here within 7 to 10 days.
Nice.
So I'm excited. I'm going to get to build a lot of this thing, and then it'll probably be at least a month before I get another shipment.
God, you should get like, do they make like airline size champagne bottles? Because it would be hilarious. Like when you put the last piece on, you commission it.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be amazing. Yeah. Do a slow-mo video of it hitting in Star Trek.
Star Trek Generations.
Generations. Yeah, okay.
They're at for the Enterprise C, they were commissioning
right.
it. They hurled a champagne bottle in the vacuum of space.
Yep.
That'd be legendary. Yeah.
The name of the 3D company is you mean the company that makes this is Eagle Moss. They call these buildups, which essentially this is going to take 2.5 years to build. Like, that's the thing. This is one pack. I get 4 packs a month and I do 120 packs total. So you do the math. But yeah, I'm excited about it.
I can't wait. I mean, the thing is it's going to be more than a year before you get this thing built, right? Like,
yeah,
just from
years.
What you just said, 2.5 years.
Uh-huh.
What is this business model?
I don't know, man. The business model, I think, is to rope you in with the coolest stuff at the beginning, get you halfway through this model, and then just milk it. That's what I think the business model is.
Hmm.
I don't think they need this to be 2.5 years.
Why? I can't believe there's not a place where a button where you can push to like pay $500 in advance just to get all the parts that are out already, just to catch like the catch up button.
Right. Like some of these programs have something like that. They have, OK, you can do, 8 packs a month to catch up and then we'll start you on the regular subscription or whatever. But yeah, they don't have that for this particular buildup.
Damn.
Which is unfortunate, but also you know, it'll be nice. I'll have it as like a background project for the next 2+ years. And then
I hope, can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Could you like have a, I don't know, like your workbench back there, like consistently put it and like take a picture of every stage of it. So like you can see, like, cause I think that'd be cool to assemble into like a, like one of those construction things.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. I think that would be pretty nifty.
Yeah. It's going to light up. It's going to be sweet.
Yeah. I can't wait. I just can't believe it's going to be 2.5 years from now, man.
Have to wait.
It's like a fucking elephant baby. Doesn't take that long to gestate. Like, geez,
I kind of like it. I don't know. I'm torn on the business model because I think it is designed to milk you out of a bunch of money somewhere in the middle of this project. Because what are you going to do? Quit 60
packs? It's designed to like some. Yeah. Like so how much? So what is each pack, like $20 or
Like $12, I think.
12. So like many, many people would not pay $1,000 for a right. statue of the Enterprise. But yeah. a lot of people will pay $12 a month for a little yeah. bit at a time.
You might not be able to afford it.
Like you said. Yeah. What are you going to do? Cancel in the middle?
Right.
When you have nothing. Like, you're like,
literally, all that money is wasted. You've got half a model that looks like shit. Doesn't work. Yeah.
It is literally the, yeah, I think we talked about it. It's literally the sunk cost fallacy at play.
But it's true in a way. It's like, it's
yeah, no.
Well, you get nothing if you don't keep going. I don't know. I'm in it for the long run. So.
Well, cool. I can't wait to see it because it is going to be impressive as fuck when yeah. it's all lit up.
I'm excited. There are a lot of mods you can do these things too, and people have done them. Like for one thing, you might notice here on the top, you see that little dot on top of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That should be
That's where the glass ball is, right?
Right. That should be clear plastic, and there should probably be a light that comes through there.
Mm-hmm.
People have drilled that out and actually have the light shining through it. I might do that because
interesting.
I think, yeah, some mods would be cool, but I'm scared also of damaging this enormously expensive, huge 2.5 year project right off the bat. So,
well, I will say that guess who has a drill press? If you want to like clamp that piece down, know exactly where a drill is going to go and what pressure, it's this guy here. This guy, Harbor Freight Special.
Oh, I also wanted to show off. Did you know everybody thinks of the Enterprise and they think of these? Ah, shit. They think of the warp nacelles having this color sides, sure. right? The bright blue sides. Did you know that the warp nacelles actually have copper colored sides? And that they're blue when they're lit
always
up?
Digital. Oh,
there's only like 3 times in the show that they show
when the Enterprise
them
is in dry dock non-active. And shut down.
Yeah. And
no, I actually did not know that. I just assumed they were always, I never knew what color they were because they're always luminous blue.
Yeah. And I never noticed the like 3 times that it happens during the show. So there are mods where like some people have painted those things copper. And if you paint it a light enough covering, the light will shine through and make them blue again, even though
the thing
is painted copper. Yeah.
Well, you got to really do cool. that.
I know. Now they said they're going to be issuing some kind of fix for those later on, so I might get new warp nacelle parts. I don't know.
Interesting.
They may be copper because I think they want to do that.
Yeah. No, I like modding stuff. It's fun. It's always trying to find that sweet spot of your ability versus your ambition.
Yeah.
Because if you go high on the ambition and you end up fucking it up, and then it's always like worse than if you left it like, you know,
right.
professionally done, but not quite perfect.
Yeah. And I have very little experience with it. So I don't know if I'm going to go modding this set. We'll see.
Can you request replacement parts?
You can buy packs, I think. Again, you can contact them and buy a pack directly.
I mean, so that's like a $12 risk if you fuck up a part or whatever. That's not so bad
for sure.
Because I don't have time to talk about this, but I ordered last year right to start a pandemic. Games Workshop had this limited time, you essentially a pre-order of this Bandai like 8-inch high Space Marine figure, and it was of my favorite chapter, the Salamanders. $100. I've never spent this much money on a toy before.
Mm-hmm.
Not since I was a kid or buying for my own kid. And I'm like, God damn it. So, but it's also really fucking cool. And it's a good reference model for when I start painting my army. And I completely forgot. It just came to my doorstop today. And I got it out. And it's a $100 fucking action figure. So it's like meticulously painted. It's like super detailed. It's got like 70 different degrees of motion to take lifelike poses and stuff. And then I went on Reddit and I saw that people are taking this and like applying, like the really good painters of the Warhammer minis, which are about the size of your thumb. Mm-hmm. They're taking those skills to an action figure that's 8 inches tall. And it fucking looks like a 3D rendering from a movie. And I'm like, I kind of want to do that to my guy. I want his boots to have mud and for his armor to have like carbon scoring. And
yeah,
you know,
man, I really want to get into 3D printing for that reason. Because like, what if you could 3D print one of those? Right. Just like,
yeah,
practice your paint job and then take it to your $100.
Yeah. Figurine. And there's like there's a huge Warhammer 3D printing industry. And those, I mean, they keep on getting cheaper and cheaper, but
yeah, the really good resin printers are down to like $500 to $700. I was looking at a couple the other day.
And those good ones. Like, cause they've had like $300-$400 ones that are kind of like jank or have limitations.
Yeah. The resin ones with like the 4K screen with really good resolution. Like you almost don't even need to do anything as far as sanding out like that's layers crazy. And stuff. Those resin printers are really cool. They take a lot of work, like a lot of cleanup, because you have to UV cure them after they're done printing, right. And you have to wash them off with alcohol. And there's a lot to of get, like
the release agent off them or something. Like
No, it's just like the residue from the resin itself or something. Like,
huh? Okay.
Yeah, it's wow. I don't know the exact reason they do it, but I watched the process. It's wild. It seems like a lot of work, but also is it more work than sanding all the layers out? Because those probably filament printers, they're just not nearly as high resolution.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're serious about it, you almost always have to lightly. It's not hard work, but it's kind of a pain. Yeah. Well, that's exciting. I would love to vicariously live the life of a 3D modeler. Because I've known a couple of people on like Twitter, like Mike Krahulik of Penny Arcade fame was an early adopter. He's had a couple of the Maker bots.
That's a thing. He has cool shit. He be early, man.
That was like five years ago. Do you think it's really because I'm starting to think that that's like now prosumer. Like it's no longer early adopter trailblazer. It's like a mature techno. Like it's not quite
we're there.
Like go to Walmart and get a $200 one. It's going to be 90% of what a $5,000 one will do. But like. You know,
no, it's getting there. Like now is the time where I'm starting to feel comfortable about maybe buying a 3D printer because years past, it was always like, well, technology's changing so fast. I mean, it would have had to be a filament printer because they didn't even have desktop resin printers back then.
What do you want to do with it?
What would I do with it?
Yeah. Like, do you have like a project print in mind to like, oh, man, I've got like this and that and the other thing? No,
I'd probably... I'm really having a lot of fun building things and modeling right now. And I'd like to, I think it'd be cool to get into building models with 3D printers, like, you know, printing off all the parts and assembling them and painting them. And I suck at painting, but I could use that to sort of test my skills and get better.
Yeah. I was kind of dipping my toe back into like RC airplanes and stuff, and the new hotness is of course 3D printing. Not usually entire airframes because I think it's too heavy, but like bits, like custom hinges and nozzles and landing gear and stuff like that.
Nice.
You know, things where you need like an extra bit of precision and strength, because like back when I was in it, like carbon fiber had just become cheap enough that like people were like embedding carbon fiber rods in the foam wings to make them like super fucking strong, you know, and like it, like crazy light, but still like just super, super strong. And now at 3D printing.
Yeah.
Wild.
It's useful. It's getting better all the time.
Deb's like, what are you going to do with it? Take over the world.
Yes, Pinky.
It's going to start making, what do they call? I'd never heard of this term before. I heard it once. It's called a ghost gun. Yeah. Guns you can 3D print.
Oh. Right.
And assemble like people send you essentially like steel blanks that are like the barrel, and then you 3D print everything else, and nothing has serial numbers on it because it's not like a. And yeah, I don't know. Like I don't know how real that is, but
I mean,
ghost guns. You're gonna be a ghost gun dealer.
Are the parts strong enough to? I know it's been done. I know like the guy who printed the gun was done years ago, but like. You could always do this, right? You could always do this with enough metalworking skill.
Oh,
and
if you have
tools,
a if you have a modest like machine shop, you can make a firearm. No problem.
Drill press,
shit,
a lathe.
There's television shows where guys do that. You know,
right?
Yeah,
I don't know. It seems like the novelty of 3D printing a gun.
You could always
3D
print a gun if you had a couple of steel blanks,
exactly,
and some aluminum and enough metal work. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, like Adam Savage, I watch his videos, and he was building the Hellboy gun.
Yeah,
and he was like taking note to say this is super accurate. Like all these parts are really accurate, but this is not a real gun. This will not fire anything. Mm-hmm. And I just kept thinking, you know, he could make a real gun if he wanted to. There's nothing stopping
him. Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. But that's interesting. I wonder what he meant that by that, because you can take a real gun and take its firing pin out and it's no longer a real gun.
Yeah, true.
So it's like, he just didn't leave the last, like, there's nothing to actually strike a bullet. Plus, like, what the fuck is the Samaritan chambered in? Like, it looks like their bullets are the size of like a spool of thread. So it's like,
yeah, it's enormous.
20 millimeter grenades. Like, so if you get your hand on
those,
you
have to make your own bullets too. But
exactly.
And well, he did.
No kidding. Yeah, I guess that's a,
those holy water tipped bullets. Those pretty cool.
They have like holy water, garlic,
mm-hmm,
depending on the loadout.
It's like, he makes some really cool shit, man.
He does. His spacesuits.
Just watched him make Mando's Ambar rifle. From the Mandalorian.
Really?
That was cool.
Has he done anything for All Mankind yet?
Not that I've seen. He's done a lot of Expanse, like tours of the set and stuff, and those are really cool.
But yeah, I was wondering, because like, you know, there's a lot of cool like props and stuff out of that thing that I wondered if he would, or like it'd be cool. Like, I can't wait to see the show just came out a week ago. I can't wait to see massive spoilers for into season two. Like what those suits may look like.
But. Oh no. We gotta wait. Cool.
Just refresh, Michelle. All right. Speaking of, Michelle's just saying, hey, get to the real stuff, guys. Jesus Christ. Just droning on and on about you guys. I don't want to cut you off. Do you have anything else? Like saying how much we've been droning, how much I've been droning, to be fair.
No. I just droned for another 15 minutes myself, so I'm good. Good.
All right. we're going to get to everyone's questions, comments, and et cetera. I don't have my notes in front of me, but if it's your first lunch, you know how it works. Every Monday, we post a thread in the forums on a VIP section, collecting comments and suggestions and whatnot for this week's lunch. Every Friday morning, I harvest that. Also, I search for the hashtag Bald Lunch on Twitter, and I grab that stuff too, and I'm going to be doing it live. I've never seen these before, so I hope it's not a lot of watch this 15-minute video YouTube video and have an opinion on it, because it's not going to work this week. C-Drive starts the thread with the... Okay, this is a very popular thing to do now, and I love it, but I know a lot of people find it annoying, is Justin Timberlake saying, it's gonna be May. It's gonna be May.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be May tomorrow. So
it's true.
It's funny. On one of the trips I take, I had to sign paperwork and we were putting dates on stuff, and someone realized it was April 30th, and I'm like, can I get away with saying it's going to be May? And I didn't. And like 3 seconds later, one of the ladies softly said it. And then then I'm like, oh, you mean, and I did it for the full, and we all laughed and we're dorks together. So,
yeah,
I'm with you, C-Drive. I like it. C.A. Villain or Calvillian. Calvillian? Calvillian. Calvillian. Hey, guys, Aaron, if your people are cool with it, you should definitely vlog at least one camping trip. Just rip off Robin its whole aura. It's fine. I have given much thought to that. It's not even before I even knew Joe Robinette. I actually, when Cecil and I camped on High Island for those 3 days, we filmed a lot of shit, just like candid kind of behind the scenes, like just random stuff with the thought that we might make like a 5-minute vlog of it. But then it's like, I always come back and I've got the footage and I'm like, do I want to spend the God knows how many hours it will be to take this into something I want to release. And then I start watching all the videos and cataloging it and reliving the memories and being like,
yeah.
I need to get, okay, Bald New needs to make like 3 times the money it makes right now so I can get some GoPros. I can get a dedicated video editor because like you guys realize to do that, I have to stop doing Bald Move.
Right.
Right. If I do Joe Robin, its job, then I can't do Bald Move anymore. So like we just need to just get this engine cranking and then we can make stuff like that happen. Or I have to, I don't know what I got to get the video editing something. So. Moving on, shows for potential prestige slash dedicated coverage in 2021-2022. All right, Succession season 3. Jesus, when does that come out?
Have you seen any of it yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Succession season 3 coming out in 2021. Okay, so I guess their teaser of content through 2022 includes Succession, but there's been no dates. If it comes out in 2021, it's going to be late 2021. This is one of those shows, I don't know how you feel about it, but I've thought it like, this has gotten so much accolades and success since there's been, like, by far and away, the most amount of email we get and people asking about it, that I'm starting to feel like an asshole for just being like, no, I'm not going to watch this rich people show. Like...
It's also a comedy, like that, which we don't typically cover.
Right. But like, again, it's not ever like usually when people are this up my ass about something, they're right. Like Ted Lasso. That's one of the examples when I kept on hearing, and I kind of bullied the community about it. And they were still they were pushing back where I'm like, if you fuckers make me watch a conventional comedy, some NBC bullshit on Apple TV, I'm never going to trust you again. And they were still at me. I'm like, okay, I better. And I feel like that's with Succession. So I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, it's won a lot of awards for a reason. I'm sure it's a very good show. It didn't like wow me. I saw the first season and I was like.
So you saw the first whole season.
There was some stuff to like there, certainly. But it's just not my type of thing. I don't know, similar to Veep, I've thought about going back and watching all of Veep just because I fucking love Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
And that's the thing, like, by the time people, I got a drumbeat of Veep, it was like four seasons in.
Right, that was too late.
Or Succession, like, 2 seasons, I could catch up on that and get ready for, like, if nothing else, OTC, if I genuinely enjoyed it.
Yeah, I might do an OTC on it. If you're watching through it, I'll just, jump back into season 2 and...
Okay.
Just talk about it 1 week on OTC or
nothing
something.
Else. I could watch the first season since we've both seen it. We could discuss like why we thought it was fun, the funny stuff, the stuff that was not so great. And
yeah,
you know,
I mean, it is definitely a show about rich people being rich. So brace yourself. But it's also got some good writing. So.
Let's see. Boba Fett plus Obi-Wan. I don't know. That's prestige.
What does this mean?
Kissing, sitting in a tree. No, I like the shows. There's going to be an Obi-Wan show. There's going to be a Book of Fett.
This year, I think. This isn't a crossover. This is not Disney already doing crossovers for shows that don't exist yet. Yeah, I mean, both of those are obvious covers, I think.
So Marvel's actually taking a couple weeks off. Loki doesn't start off. Because I was like,
do they have a movie?
I'm actually... I don't think so. Oh, well, when is the, because I know it's on our list of things to see, but when is the Black Widow? Is that May? Does that come out in May? I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be May.
I don't think so. Is it? I don't know. But that would be smart if they like gave 2 weeks off to build up excitement for a movie and then like took 2 weeks off for people to see it and then you continue the narrative. I mean, there's good, like, look, there's good chance that, like, if nothing else, we'll be talking about this stuff on OTC, this stuff like Boba Fett and Obi-Wan. Like, remember Mandalorian? We did not cover that full, and then we really liked the first season. We came back for season 2. Like, I don't feel like we're missing out by not getting in on every season because, like,
yeah,
honestly, if we had spun up a big feed for like WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier, I don't think it'd have been worth it. I think we would have been disappointed, and you guys would have been disappointed in our coverage because if you forced us to do a full show on those things that are kind of like creaky. And I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying like they don't deserve an hour of talking about. They deserve a 5-minute phone call with your buddies. Like, wasn't it sick when Falcon bounced that fucking shield off of so-and-so's skull and then looked in the camera and said something sick. And then him and Bucky like made out with each other and it was fucking cool. Like, yeah, it doesn't deserve like, am I crazy? Like Mandalorian, you know, Mandalorian, we gave pretty breezy coverage of that, had a lot of fun, and there's people that hated it, but like a lot of people loved it too. I just don't know. Those shows, like, but I had a lot more joy watching Mandalorian than I did through either the Marvel series so far.
Maybe Loki will be better. Now that we have that Mando feed and it was, you know, it was a good show. I think I'm more likely to want to cover Boba and Obi-Wan in some, like, not extended format, but, you know, however much it deserves it to cover that in those feeds too.
Max 3x bald move income, rich guy, asshole. Do a 5-minute preview of our OTC podcast for Book of Boba and Obi-Wan and release it to the Mandalorian feed and be like, if you want to hear the rest, support that baldmove.com, motherfucker.
Pew pew. Yeah.
Just kidding, unless I don't know, because like I don't know, man. But the other thing is like, also we don't need to do stuff like that, because with this with the MTMs, honestly, we have a direct incentive to make podcasts that make thousands of downloads. Like if we were put out a Book of Boba and like we just could do breezy like Star Wars, like Gen X Star Wars fan coverage without like have to crack out the technical manuals and all that stuff and do a 90 minutes a week on it, and we 10,000-12,000 people download it, that's actually a win for us. So
yeah,
we'll see. And that was Mando. Like, Mando did quite well for us. So
yeah, that was a pretty easy show to cover.
Dexter season 9, get the fuck out.
Dexter's coming back. Oh fuck.
I mean, obviously Game of Thrones, the prequels are a lock for day one coverage. Lord of the Rings prequel, I think that's a lock for day one coverage.
Oh yeah,
because even if it's a it's a train wreck, there's going to be tens of thousands of fans that want to gawk and rubberneck and decry the wreckage. So
I mean, the amount of money alone that they're spending on this thing is worth talking about.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos got 50 cents out of his pocket, rubbed them together, kissed them, and made a wish. It's amazing. Spending so much money on this thing. Better Call Saul season 6 is a lock, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You and Alexis?
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta season 3, interesting.
Because
I will definitely be talking about it on OTC. I don't know whether Jim wants to catch up on it or not, because it's a great show. It's a comedy, but, or I might try to find a friend, online to talk about that, but, we'll see. I don't know. I just don't know how Atlanta will do. We don't have the best track records for comedies, but we'll see. American Crime Story season 3, Lewinsky scandal. Nah, I think if Cecily were with us, that would be a lock. But like, as Cecily is getting busier and busier with her new job, she's actually got a promotion. It's going very well for her. I think she's very happy to not be podcasting.
Nice.
So I don't think that's going to happen. Tokyo Vice, Michael Mann producing, directing some of it. I know, zero interest. I'd have to see a banger ass trailer. Michael Mann, like, because I'm on to this Ridley Scott's, you know, Raised by Wolves business, where you pay a guy $50 million to direct the first episode and sign some design sketches, and I don't care.
Last of Us adaptation. Who did you say? Michael Mando?
Michael Mann.
Oh. Michael Mann. They said Michael, right? Mando. I'm like, really? The dude who's playing, let's face it, Better Call Saul is helming this thing? Wow, okay.
No, that's the Mandalorian's first name. He's Mike. Mike Mando.
Mike. Yeah, Mikey, they call him.
What about you, Tokyo Vice, Michael Mann?
I don't know anything about it. It sounds,
it's Miami Vice something good in Tokyo. It. Yeah, nah.
Maybe I'll change my mind. Like Mosquito Coast, I saw a trailer for that. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm in. Justin Theroux.
I am definitely in on Mosquito Coast.
Comes out today, is that right?
Yep, I am looking forward. I actually caught up on Mayor of Eastbound and Down.
Right.
I make a new joke every single time mm-hmm. we start it up. It's okay. It's
oh boy.
It's one of those things where it's like the first episode felt kind of perfunctory, and the second episode blew so many threads open that I'm like, whoa, this is almost dark levels of what the fuck. So I don't know. I'm watching it. It's entertaining watching what's her face trying to wrestle with a Balmer accent. And what's hilarious is like her and like two other actors are giving it a go and doing a pretty good job, and no one else. They're living in the kind of town where everyone talks like they got chowder and Old Bay rolling around in their mouth, and only three people actually are speaking.
Is it Philly? Is that the... It's
supposed to be... I think it's Maryland, so I think it's Baltimore. The Balmer. Oh, okay. Like, if you... Kathy Bates in the Freaks season of American Horror Story, that's what she was trying to do. Remember, we were all being like, what the fuck accent is this? I guess there is, like, this tight... Bay Area Baltimore accent. So, and then The Last of Us adaptation. What do you think? I mean, the movie? Super high interest for me.
We covered it. Adaptation?
The movie? The Last of Us adaptation.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I thought you were saying the last thing is adaptation. That's a absolutely series. I'll be watching and probably talking about this thing.
That's a series, right?
Uh-huh. It's good, and it's written by a fucking guy who's I can't think of names today. Chris Maisland. Chris? No. Billy Maisland. Something Maisland. Craig Maisland. Yeah. Craig. There you go.
Cecily was screaming upstairs. Ethan. So it's not a Balmer accent. Not a Baltimore accent. It's a. I should say maybe that's the thing. As the same Balmer. But it's not a Baltimore accent. It's an East Penn.
I saw an Delco article Penn, of Pennsylvania that said like. Very few actors are willing to try this accent because it's so hard. And they were talking about it like it was a Pennsylvania accent, but not like Pennsylvania Dutch, more like Pennsylvania city accent.
Small town Pennsylvania. Okay. They're very, it sounds very related to me. And it is a tough accent. So, but that's what's hilarious is like three of the people are doing like Gene Smart occasionally lapses into what sounds like a lazy Fargo. no one else is doing it. Okay, back to the lunch questions. Thanks to that for Calvillian. Alan C. Logan Paul will have an exhibition boxing match against Floyd Mayweather. I'm sorry, Mayweather this year. What are your thoughts on this?
He's going to box an actual professional boxer. He just boxed a UFC guy, and I get it. Like, he wins that. You're going to box an actual high-level professional boxer?
Good luck. With arthritic hands, can't punch nearly as hard as he used to, mostly known for, you know, defensive work and okay. going, you know, it's like,
sure. Picking off the weak antelope, in the herd. Yeah.
I think he's going to use like, cause I think he's got a size and reach advantage, and he might play like how cool to be if I just went the distance. Like I'm going to lose every card, like every round 7-10, you know, 10-7.
Yeah.
On, but like if I, you know, I'd go 12 rounds with the chain, you know, like, I could see it, but I think he's going to get knocked the fuck out, honestly.
That's dangerous, man.
Even with Floyd's fucked up hands, I guess, is what he's got.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't know about that.
So.
Mr. X. It's stunt fights, right? That's all this guy does is stunt fights.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying I could take him, but he's a stunt fighter.
Yeah, and I've not watched a single one of Logan Paul's fights because like all these Paul brothers, fuck them. C Drive. Oh wait, this is a response. Did I skip one? Oh, Mr. X. Sorry, we've been doing some garden prep out here in Colorado, looking to get planting the next couple weeks. We've had mixed success over the years. I think our soil has gotten too compacted and stripped of nutrients, so we did a lot of work digging it up and amending with new soil and compost, which is a good workout. Any gardening going on in the Bald Move Empire? And if so, any tricks or tips you've come to use?
All the gardening that is going on in my house is done sort of indoor style in like pots or planters. You know, we're doing it outdoors as well. And I shouldn't even say we. It's really my wife that's doing it. She planted Right now, she's got some seedlings that are growing, like cucumbers and kale and cilantro and basil. Just a whole bunch of like veggies and herbs and stuff. And she just planted strawberries the other day. But no tips. We're doing it all in planters and pots.
My mom used to keep a huge garden. Like, we had a somewhere between a half acre and acre plot. And it was probably a good quarter acre. And I fucking hated that so much. I hated spending all my afternoons out in this humid ass.
Yeah.
Shitty thing that pull weeds. And it was just a work factory, because then when it's time to harvest, oh, mama's so excited. We'd snap beans nights on nights, and we'd can. And like, us kids all had to help with this shit. And like, I did like picking strawberries, because, you know, strawberries are, I wouldn't mind having a strawberry patch, honestly. They're, yeah. It's like weed. You plant it and they just, every year they just pop up, give you strawberries. What a deal. But like, I mean, she did potatoes. She did squash, zucchini. And that's the other thing. The shit, like, I wish strawberries yielded like fucking zucchini plants, man.
Right.
I wish you could grow sweet corn as easy as you can grow squash
or green onions. Good God.
Or like fucking beans, or like some of that stuff is like, just like, oh my God, you know, like, there's a couple things I think would be having a tomato plant, like on the deck,
we got tomatoes,
but you
too.
Go out for fresh tomatoes. That's a nice idea. But all these people, like if all these people fucking canning and doing all that stuff, like, that's, I don't know, man. It never felt like it was worth it in time or money. And like, the other thing is like, his mom's like, oh, this is so much better than store-bought. And I'm like, fucking beans, man.
Think kids have the desire to taste vegetables properly.
That's what I'm saying. But like, you know, you take beans and you boil them in a pot with like onions and fucking ham. I don't know that the cans are going to taste that much worse than the ones that just came right out of the garden, but maybe I'm crazy.
I don't know.
But I hate it. So no, I don't have any gardening tips. Don't garden. That's my tip.
The other thing we got going is garlic. Garlic's so fucking easy to grow, man. I think it's like at the end of fall, you just go to the store, you buy some garlic, you tear it apart to cloves, you leave the skins on. And you just jam it into dirt and you just wait, and it'll grow come spring. And then you harvest it. Yeah. Yeah. You literally just pull the cloves off and stick them in dirt. That's it.
My grandma grew a pineapple as a stunt one year.
Stunt pineapple.
Yeah. You cut the top of a pineapple, you plant it, and sure enough, it'll grow into another single fucking pineapple. And then you wonder what the fuck was the last, because it takes I felt like, she had to do it in a potter and bring it inside. And then she planted it. Then she planted it to get the final like big plumpness and stuff. But she did it. Like I said, and it was a stunt. Like, she's like, you know, all of his grandkids, I remember, we were amazed. Like, we're going to grow a pineapple. Because we thought, like, I don't know, you grow a pineapple tree,
right?
Like a coconut tree or something. But it's like, just literally just generates another fucking pineapple. It's wild. Let's talk about gardening disappointments. You ever planted a watermelon and you watch this fucking vine take over the whole fucking field, and it's like all these giant, like, you know, umbrella sized leaves, so nothing else can grow behind it. And then it makes you a single bitter melon that's the size of your fist. Oh, boy, that's a good summer memory. Oh, that year that we were looking forward to those watermelons all year, and we got one single softball sized piece of shit.
Yeah. Just go buy watermelons. I'm looking forward to watermelon season again.
Me too.
We're only, what, 2-3 months away?
This weekend might be the first ear of corn. Might be the first ear of corn weekend. I've started seeing it popping up at stores.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be good. Yeah, Michelle, I can see, knows what I'm talking about here in chat. Hey, Wookie, first off, thanks for the consistent talk about how great For All Mankind is. I'm almost done with season one. At the time I was writing this, but I didn't have the drive to start it until I heard you guys rave about it. Dude, same. I think it's honestly criminal how underrated this was in season one. Like, I just, like, even the people that seemed to be like fans of were like ashamed, like, oh, you know, it takes a couple episodes to get going. Maybe I didn't find that to be the case. I felt like it drug a little bit in the middle, just a little bit. But like, I'm rewatching it now with Jack because he's crazy for it, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. And I'm not seeing it now. Like, it's like, I'm just like, oh, I can't. Oh, this is the episode where Molly does this crazy thing. Oh, this is the episode where Gordo does. Yeah, it's.
What parts is he crazy for? Is it just the space parts, or does he like the human drama with like Ed and Karen?
He's
and
very invested in the internal, like he's got people that like, this guy's an asshole. And he's like, and this, like, okay, you know, cool. Like, yeah, no, he loves the whole thing. It's really fun. It's really fun watching it. On to the question. A Wookiee says, on the show, the Mosquito Coast on your radar at all? Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. I'm going to watch the first episode this weekend for sure.
Yeah, me too.
And since there's an OTC, a regularly scheduled OTC next week, probably be talking about it. A Fasano. Hey, guys, long time, first time. Well, welcome. Welcome to your first lunch.
Yeah.
Let's question anyway. I had been staying one book ahead in the show of the show for The Expanse, but the last season was so good. I went off and finished book 8. No spoilers, but the first two books of the last trilogy are so good. Where have you guys left off with the books? I know Jim read ahead, but I can't remember how much. If you started the new trilogy, what are your thoughts on the possibility you'll end up on another platform with potentially different actors? Thanks for all you do. Your podcast provided me with a welcome release from some of the stresses of the past year. Well, appreciate it. And back at you. You guys are very diverting and interesting and fun. And you pay us to do it. So
it's true.
Thank you.
I read book 6. That's as far as I've gotten so far. I'm definitely considering going and just reading the rest of them when that last one comes out. Because why not? I mean, if this is going to be the last season on Amazon, it might at the very least take a while to get this spun up somewhere else or to do movies or whatever the hell they want to do with it. So I think, yeah, I would feel pretty comfortable having already read to the end of where the series is going to get to. Yeah, just reading the rest of them.
I think it would be good for the coverage too, because I do think the people like the mildly interesting aspect of one person not knowing and the other person kind of knowing. And, mm-hmm. you know, even if you didn't do like a spoiler of a companion, I think it would, I would support that for sure. I wish I could do it.
Yeah.
So do you want to trade places? I'll leapfrog you.
Well, I already read book 6, so I don't know how I can go back on that. I already know it'll too
ruin,
much.
It'll ruin the coverage of the final season, so.
Yeah.
But, Shinri, S. Henry, you may have already discussed this elsewhere as the news is about 2 weeks old now, so apologies if you have. Amazon's new Lord of the Rings series first season is costing somewhere in the neighborhood of $465 million. Besides this being an obscene amount of money and Amazon having deep enough pockets to absorb more than a handful of flops, do you think this price tag sets the show up for failure? I can't see how you sustain it or define success at those kinds of numbers. I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan and truly loved your commissions last year. I'd hate to see this project fall flat. Maybe I'm being paranoid and this is the start of a new fantasy series arms race between HBO's Game of Thrones prequels and Amazon. Have a great weekend.
How many Amazon Prime members does it take to make that cost up? That's the thing, right? They don't have traditional television models, no advertising, as best I know. So they're looking at, like, how many people can we bring to Amazon Prime, right? And get, once they have Amazon Prime, they'll be shopping on our platform. We'll be making money. They have
3 million Amazon subscribers in a single year will pay for that series.
The first season of it, yeah. I mean, is it sustainable at $500 million a season? I don't know. But Amazon certainly has other alternative revenue streams.
I thought that was the total budget of the entire. I thought that was the total budget of the entire project.
Like, I thought that was the budget for season one, but
that's, I don't know. Well, I mean, maybe.
It's a lot. It's a hell of a lot.
I mean, here's the thing: like, if this has Game of Thrones style success, it will easily be worth it. 100%. The merch alone.
Right.
Let alone the net amount of people signing up for Prime. So, like, yeah, it's unquestionably worth the risk. Now, the question is, will it pay off? And
yeah, and if it doesn't, do you do another season of it?
Certainly this, like, you know, first age, I can't remember exactly. Yeah, what was it? Was it before the fall of Numenor? Right after the fall of Numenor? It's kind of, I don't know. This thing is like, I felt like I had a good idea what it was about, and then we did all that prep for Game of Thrones and it squeezed out of my head. But like, I've read all that shit is what I'm saying, and it's inherently interesting, but it's interesting in kind of the way like reading the Bible, those biblical fictional or biblical historical accounts, like, is interesting. Like, oh, this is like, you know, this battle between this city and the way it was won, is, and some of the dramatic stakes, like, oh, this guy's daughter was offered as a sacrifice to God if she would own, or, you know, blah blah, like some dilemmas and stuff. But it's like very stilted and very feels like a religious text or like a like an oral history, like reading Beowulf, stuff like that, which is what he was going for. Is Beowulf a good thing to adapt into a movie? Some people have tried, and it's like, you know, you have to change, you have to do stuff. You have to sex up Angelina Jolie and as a 3D demon character or whatever. So I don't know. Like, it's all about, same thing with Game of Thrones. It's all about, can they find the human connection to the inherently kind of dryly historically interesting material? If they can, they'll do good business.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll know if it's worth it if they make a second season. Yeah. God, the lawnmower man is
going hard. Your house this time,
He came over.
Chinaski says, "Happy Friday, fellas." Happy Friday, Chinaski. Mm-hmm. Hey, Ron, I got to ask, in addition to the Baja Blast, what exactly did you order from Taco Bell the day you got your second vaccine dose? I got my second dose on May 14th, so I want to order the same just in case that's a secret to not feeling like shit the following day, like Jim. Probably get high and watch a musical too, right? I mean, check all the boxes. I mean, only if you don't want to have severe symptoms. So here's what you do. And this has been approved for emergency use by the CDC, this regimen. You go to Taco Bell, you get I think it's the number 6, but it includes two. Jesus Christ, do I even know what these things are called, or did I order by number so far? I think it's chalupas. They're chicken chalupas combo. You hold the chicken, you substitute for the ground beef, because Taco Bell's chicken is kind of hit or miss, if you ask me.
And their ground beef is better? Oh.
Well, you know, that's not really meat. Isn't
there like a court case oatmeal or something?
Yeah, something like that. So it's fine. It's fine. You do that. You make sure you substitute that. Then that comes with a hard taco. Fuck that hard taco. Substitute soft. Okay? All right? You with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
Then you want to get a chili cheese burrito supreme. Which sometimes is off menu, but you tell them chili cheese burrito supreme, essentially chili cheese burrito with sour cream on it. That they'll make it for you. You get your large Baja Blast, you eat it, you get stupid high, you watch a musical, you go to bed, like brush your teeth, pass out, you're gonna feel like a daisy in the morning. Guaranteed. Nice. Guaranteed. This regimen has been approved for an emergency authorization by the professional representations of Aaron, whatever. Yeah. And, you know, this is not medical advice, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, let's see. Murder Bear from Cold Springs, Kentucky says, when we did Secret Santa back in September, past tense of did got my name, and one of the things he got me was a little Bluetooth shower speaker. Sound on is decent enough. Being in a tight and closed space helps that a lot, but I realized something incredibly impressive yesterday. Since I work from home, I might not take a shower every day, but let's say 4 a week minimum. I realized yesterday that aside from my initial charge, I have not charged this thing once since then. 4 times a week for, let's say, maybe 10 minutes at a time from late December to almost May, and one charge is pretty damn impressive. Do you have any small, cheap items or electronics that have been similarly impressive? I remember, like, TV remote sometimes, like when they go dead and I open it and it's got the original batteries, and I'm always shocked, like, Jesus Christ, these things lasted for like 3 years or something.
Yeah, same with wireless mice. Those things seem to last for fucking ever, months and months at a time, using them for 8 hours a day, right? Like, even the ones at the office that we had, I wouldn't change the batteries out, but once every 3 to 6 months, I'm shocked how long those last.
My bathroom scales on a single lithium, like CR30 to 2022, like, will fucking weigh me for 5 years.
Jeez.
Like, they just last forever. I guess that's the same stuff they use in smoke detectors, and those last like 10 years. So I don't know. I'm trying to think. I feel like I know there's got to be like an Energizer Bunny story here, but I just can't think of it. I'm sorry, man. This is why I should prep. Lemon Cakes. Hey guys, happy lunch. I had my job interview and thank goodness they didn't ask me the dreaded strengths and weaknesses question. Congratulations. I got a cat incursion I'm fighting off. Hopefully it's a thing of the past. Like you guys said, it's an awful question to learn something about someone. They did ask the question Jim mentioned about overcoming obstacles that I'd given some thought to, so thanks. I was so nervous I could hardly breathe, but the two interviews were so understanding, interviewers rather, were so understanding and encouraging, acknowledging up front a phone interview presented challenges for us to read each other. Oh, I never even thought about the fact that this would not even be in person.
Yeah, I guess not.
What the fuck is she into? Okay, whatever. I'm not going to pretend I'm not hearing that. Do you, I also had prepared for the possible, do you think you may be overqualified for this job question, which was asked and they seem very happy with my response. I'm waiting for a call to see if I'm going into a pool of qualified candidates early next week. I did get sent security clearance documents, which must be a good sign, right? I would imagine that that's a cost involved. So like they're actually spending resources evaluating at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't get selected, at least I got that first out of the way and on to the next. That's great attitude.
Yeah.
Because nobody's a great interviewer. No one's born a great interviewer. You practice. Next one will be easier. And you got this. P.S. I can't get in the forums on or the club on my phone or PC using Chrome. I have to use Edge. Even then, I have to jump through a bunch of security hoops. I'm sorry. I don't know what the fuck is going on with the forums. Like, there's a big thread about it. Jim and I are wits end. We've got we're gonna have to come up with something new. And it's been weighing on us for obviously months and months and months. And I'm so sorry, but it's just we need an Empire Business.
It's
about
a pickle.
It.
Yeah, we do need.
It's a pickle. Well. Malkos, my favorite band, an alt rock band named Manchester Orchestra, drops their new album today. I'm pooping my pants excited. Question for you. Rank the following moments from the least to most exciting for you. Your favorite band dropping a new album. Your favorite movie franchise releasing a new film. Your favorite TV show having a new season. Your favorite video game franchise releases a new game.
Ooh.
Am I crazy that I'm like as excited? I've been as excited about all of those things, depending on what it is. And I don't think it's like, well, I'm older now, so obviously I'm in more into my bands. Like, yeah. I wanted RTJ4 so fucking bad.
Mm.
You know, I was so happy that I could just jump right into For All Mankind season 2. If I had to wait a year, I would have been like beside myself.
Yeah, I mean, I can't answer this for gyms of all eras, but the gym right now probably says TV, video games, movie, and then music. 1 to 4.
Hmm.
I don't listen to a lot of music anymore. It's unfortunate. I need to get back into that.
What helped me is like I got the fucking, I don't know.
Shower speaker.
YouTube music, I guess is what it's called now. Like Google forced me to use it. But before that, Google Play, like just having that, like I just think they're really good prediction algorithms and they have really interesting, like I'm often finding really cool stuff to listen to. And then the other thing is, when in doubt, I listen to Beaver Island Radio. On the weekends, they have really great like jazz and pop and like classic, just like really eclectic mix of just tons of folk. And it's like I was associated with like camping and sailing and being in Beaver Island. So me and Cecily have laid of just like on a weekend, if we're not doing anything, lay around and listen to the cottage mix, you know?
Yeah, it's just so much bad music. And I know that I'm not saying like good music isn't still being made. It totally is. I just don't know how to find it anymore. Because like, are the algorithms going to give me good music or are the algorithms just going to give me shit that, you know, is either popular or sounds like the stuff that I'm already listening to and is from that same era?
Well, that's the thing. So if you find a new song, like I got Shazam a lot, every time I hear a song that's like a jam on a TV show or a movie or whatever, I Shazam it, add it to my like list and then like start a radio station based on that. You find so much cool stuff related to those artists or from that same artist.
Yeah.
But yeah, if all you play is like Kurt Cobain, similar right. artists,
it's just gonna give me Nirvana, Pearl yeah. Jam. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I think I know the hole that you fall into a lot. Yeah,
yeah, because it's like, oh, what do I want to listen to? Something familiar, and then boom, I'm stuck in that hole for an hour and a half on Spotify or whatever.
I bet there's modern grunge too. Like if you knew where to look.
I bet. Yeah.
I bet there's like old school thrift. Cause like there's like right now, like there's a big resurgence of like turntablism, they're calling it, like scratching and like old school hip hop kind of beat style. And it's a resurgence to kind of more old school hip hop, I think, too. So I was like, why wouldn't grunge come back? It's primed.
For sure.
It's also classic rock, by the way.
I know. Oh, I know, like, man.
We used to only have one alt station in Cincinnati. Now we're so old, there's three. It's essentially the golden oldie stations. There's three of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild.
Okay. Roll 909. Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. Happy Friday, Roel. I first had this thought way back during the Watchmen and the psychic squid shenanigans, but was recently reminded by this video of a UFO that leaked a few weeks ago, to which the Pentagon basically said, yep, it's a real video of a UFO. Fuck if we know what it is. My question is, with the high quality video editing, deepfakes especially, available to everyone, literally everyone right now, what would be your threshold for accepting something ridiculous, not necessarily a UFO or whatever, just something previously unbelievable, instead of calling bullshit? Like, does a squid have to land on your house? Godzilla destroys Tokyo, but you only know because it's on every news station. Someone you know takes a pretty good picture of Bigfoot on a camping trip.
I mean, the threshold is way lower for things I see with my own eyes, as opposed to
obviously
things that are presented in some form of media, right? Like, you show me a photo of something, I'm like, okay, my very first thought is, how Photoshopped does this look? That's my first thought when I look at any photo. Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty high. It's pretty high for that kind of stuff.
I think that, like, it's like the middle option there. Like, if I turn on my TV and, like, CNN was showing Godzilla rampaging through Tokyo, I would, like, turn the channel and be like, oh, CNN's doing something stupid. But then if MSNBC had the same live coverage and then Fox News and then BBC and then, you know, like, what the hell? Like, especially if, like I might, like, my mind not accept it, but, like, after 2 or 3 hours and they're still talking about it and I know this isn't some coordinated, like, yeah, you have to. Like, right. That's the problem with conspiracy theorists, is that there's at a certain point where they just decide that, like, all of the world's doctors, scientists, journalists, blah, 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 are all together despite all their various competing interests and nationalities and political beliefs. And they all get together to pull one over on everyone all the time. And then you're done. So if Godzilla rampaged through Tokyo and like all the world's journalists are like, yep, I don't need to book a flight to Tokyo to see it because like I have faith in that system.
Yeah. And you have consensus as well, which is important.
Yeah. And there's limits to that. Like, that doesn't mean that everything that CNN says is 100% accurate or everything that, you know, it just means that, like, when there's multiple trustworthy sources saying this is happening, that's the only way you can know anything in this world, man. So yeah, that's what I think.
And also, like, how open to interpretation is the thing that they're reporting, right? Is it like, oh, a new mountain appeared out of nowhere. It just kind of pushed up out of the ground and we think it's Jesus. What? What? Yeah. Oh, really, Fox? You think it's Jesus? Oh, wait, MSNBC thinks it's Jesus too? Okay, interesting. But I need to see some evidence for Jesus in this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then if they pan to the sky and there's like the Tetragrammaton written in 500 mile high flaming letters, then okay, I'm starting Jesus-y. To come around to the Jesus thing. This is pretty...
Right.
You know?
Right. Like, how solid is the evidence? How much consensus is there around it?
Or I might call it and say, you're saying Jesus, but I need to... It's actually Yahweh. This is Yahweh. We need to get some fucking foundation. Yeah, we're going to... Yeah.
He's going to be pissed if you put any fucking consonants in there.
Yeah, it turns out all you New Testament fucks were wrong. And he's pissed. He's pissed about this whole sun business up serpent. Yeah, no, that's all blasphemous.
It's,
I'm sorry.
It's not Jehovah. It's Jehovah. It's Jehovah. God damn it, he is angry.
He's really pissed we've lost pronunciation of his divine name. God, he's very explicit about its use and magnification. And we can't even say it now? Oh, my God. He's rolling up those. He's going the way. Sees blood right there. You know, I don't even blame him.
But the real issue is, yeah, information is getting harder and harder to verify and trust in those forms, right?
Okay. It says also PS The Expanse is now my favorite series of all time, and we're the blame.
Nice.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah. Tulip Blossom, I don't want to start drama in people's personal lives, but I was listening to a discussion on another show this week, so I got to ask, do you consider your spouse your best friend? Should a person want their spouse to be your best friend, or does them being your spouse imply they're obviously an important person in your life, but your best friend is someone else? For background, I was listening to a conversation with my husband. We both agreed that we are not each other's best friend, and we are perfectly okay with that. Both of us have a best friend who we have known for majority of our lives, 30 plus years of friendship, and we agree that we're both lucky to have a lifelong friend like that. Having friendship like that in your life should count for something.
Yeah, I think I'm cool with that. Like, you don't have to be best friends, but if you are, that's also cool, right? Like, I think probably the worst scenario here is if one of you says, oh yeah, we're totally best friends, and then the other says, I got a best friend, I don't need another.
But that should be acceptable too.
I think there should be some understanding there, certainly, but
yeah. It's always unpleasant when you're confronted with that fact, but and that's why I like to think of it as, like, I don't know who my best friend is. Like, yeah. I think there is a way I could look at it, and it's obviously Cecily. I think there's a way to look at it, and it's obviously Jim. I think it's a way to look at it, and it's obviously my buddy Nick. I think there's, like, you know, like, there is a group of people to which I am able to have very intense conversations with, and it still feels safe, and I'm able to make mistakes, and I'm forgiven, and I have enough affection that when they transgress, I forgive them. And we're comfortable around each other. Mm-hmm. And like, they're when groups of those people meet those, I start thinking of them as like, they're my best friend, you know?
Yeah.
But like, you know, and it's also like different in terms of like how long, and I don't, it's like best friend. It's like, I don't know. It's like, who's your favorite child? That's how friends to me feel like, damn, you know, but I can also see like what you're saying is that like, yeah, you don't need to be best friends to be married. Like, if you're like my buddy I went to preschool with and we go fishing every weekend, like, that's my best friend. And I feel I'm like, yeah, it's none of my business, you know?
Sure. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know how I would label my best friend. Like, it's a weird concept.
If you don't have the Barb and shit, what was it? Something for
go to Vista Del Mar.
Vista Del Mar. If you don't have their relationship, then you just need to back off from the best friend status shit. But Michelle from Cali, happy Friday, guys. Time for a round of fuck, marry, kill. Okay. Breaking Bad, The Leftovers, Game of Thrones, before final season.
Too many caveats. What? Okay. Breaking Bad, Leftovers, Game of Thrones. God, I'm gonna fuck Breaking Bad. I'm gonna marry Leftovers.
And I'm gonna kill Game of Thrones.
It's pretty easy. It's pretty obvious.
I thought season 7 sucked too, honestly, in
and
retrospect.
Six started to show some cracks.
Yeah, 6, honestly, that's where the rot started. So, arguably 5, but you know, yeah. 4 is the last a whole. That's where you get to the solid wood. All the rot's gone. It's solid hardwood, season 4 down. But yeah.
Uh-oh.
Michelle says, dang it, you need my edit. I thought you just edited it. She edited, change it from Mad Men to The Expanse. Wait.
What?
You can replace one of these with The Expanse if you don't want to choose Game of Thrones for anything. Well, no, I did. I want to choose Game of Thrones for killing. If you put Expanse or Mad Men in there, now it's too hard.
Yeah.
No. Fuck. Yeah, kill Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Here's a question, Jim. Mm-hmm. Fuck, marry, kill. Fuck, marry, kill.
I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna marry fuck, and I'm gonna fuck marry.
Okay, because I think I'm gonna kill Mary. I'm going to marry fuck. I'm gonna fuck kill.
living on the edge, man. Yeah, fucking kill.
That kill pussy. Woo! But you don't want a wife. Shit.
Oh my god.
Okay. All right. This we have a couple tweets. We got a couple tweets to blow through and we're out of here.
Okay.
Alexis is hashtag bald lunch, the mowing begins. That's been ongoing here at this. Like, we're fighting the battle against the mowing man. Epic Mouthful says, will you be doing a podcast without remorse? John Clancy's Without Remorse is out on Amazon Prime and it kicks ass.
John Clancy?
Tom Clancy. Oh. She said John Clancy. It wasn't my fault that time. Make sure you make that you see that male Aaronisms.
No.
I was so excited to see Michael B. Jordan as John Clark. And I was wondering, like, oh, how are they going to adapt the tale? Because this is like a gritty, like, tale of revenge against drug dealers on the East Coast in the 70s by a Vietnam vet. And like, obviously, this guy will be like a Desert Storm vet and he'll be like this and that. But like, I watched a trailer and it's Without Remorse and name only. Huh. This plot has been changed so much that, like, I think it's even if it's amazing for people that are not familiar with Without Remorse, that I'm going to be like, well, this isn't Without Remorse. Yeah. This is a perfectly fine, like, spy military thriller starring Michael B. Jordan. But why the fuck did you have to do it with Without Remorse? You know? You'll notice at no time that I say that I'm mad that, like, the white guy that's the hero got changed into black guy. I'm cool with that. I'm saying this doesn't feel like Without Remorse, but I don't know. Maybe that they've somehow stayed true. Cause like Without Remorse is one of my favorite novels of all time. Hmm. It's still like really good. Like, it's just the blackest hearted tale of vengeance and revenge that you'll ever read. But yeah, I don't know. I'm concerned. I'm now nervous about seeing it.
More than Old Boy.
But I want to watch it too. More than what?
Old Boy.
Well,
that's like the darkest.
That really, you know, the gut punch is brutal but this is more of like a steady amount of brutality and vengeance. Yeah, Old Boy. Hard to argue with that one. Let's see. Patrick Lane, have you guys seen Patriot from Amazon starring Michael Dorman, aka Gordo Stevens, as an unraveling spy who copes by performing increasingly honest folk songs?
What?
I hear this is alternative history Gordo. Instead of going on the bloated drunk astronaut circuit, he went on like, hey, I don't want to talk about the moon no more, folks. I'm just here to play my guitar.
Wow. Yeah, playing in front of a bunch of Shriners.
I have heard about Patriot, and I am about twice as excited to see it now that I know that Michael Dorman's in it, but also my base level of wanting to see it was like 3%. So yeah. It's still not like
6 now.
Yeah. Like I learned this as a young age that I would not like everything that my heroes are in. For mm-hmm. example, I thought I wanted to watch everything that Mark Hamill's in. And when I was like 12 years old and I didn't get 2.5 movies in before I'm like, nope, I don't give a fuck about Mark Hamill when he's not Luke Skywalker or the Joker. So
yeah,
like,
man, I feel like that was a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? You weren't going to like anything he was in because he was Mark Hamill and because he was Luke Skywalker.
People yeah, just like I don't want to see him good playing
because they're like Hank. Well, he's Luke Skywalker. We yeah, can't have Luke Skywalker.
I don't
want
to. I don't want him playing Hank Williams Jr. or something. You know, like fuck. I don't give a shit about Hank Williams or Jr. So
yeah.
Let's see. Stacy Johnson wants to know, have you seen The Year the Earth Changed, Apple TV Plus? It made me pro shutdown, actually. Damn. I mean,
no.
Pro shutdown. What does that mean? Like shutting everything down for the pandemic?
I mean, I was pro shutdown.
I think we were pretty pro shutdown. Nobody listened to us. We did the like half ass rolling ineffectual shutdown, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll have to, I might check that out. Teddy, are you going to cover Mayor of Easttown and HBO? What? I'm not going to recommend it to you because like I said, it's just okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to watch it. There's so many other things I'd rather watch.
If it turns out to be amazing, I will talk about it on off the clock because I am watching it because I do like, God, I thought I would be able to remember her name. Who's Kate Winslet. I do like Kate Winslet. I'm really excited about Evan Peters because I've never seen him in anything that I didn't either ironically or unironically hate him in. Because I've only seen him in like American Horror Story, essentially. But he's kind of a cool guy so far, two episodes in. And I think that's it.
Nice.
Did we get the wait? When was the last Friday? Oh yeah, this was definitely I caught up. Made it right at the hour 29 mark. Hot damn.
Cool.
So that's going to do it for lunch, everybody. Thank you for listening to us have lunch. And if you got any basement advice for me, again, send that into the forums or tweet it at me. Send it into a.ron@baldmove.com because I wouldn't mind some advice on this. It's a big expenditure. I definitely want to do it. I definitely want to, you know, put some equity into this home. And I didn't think that I would get three different stories from three different agencies coming to look at the same house, but appreciate everybody stopping by and thank you for all your support as always, whether you're a patron or whether you're a club member. We couldn't do it without you, and that's literally true. So looking forward to some cool stuff. First and foremost, this weekend we're doing it's going to be a great science fiction Sunday on twitch.tv/baldmove. My favorite episode of Star Trek of all time, Data's Day. You will see a robot tap dance. I promise it's going to happen. O'Brien will get married. Pivotal episode of Star Trek. It's a lot of fun. And then we're going to watch Minority Report, which I'm excited about because it's got Samantha Morton from The Walking Dead. It's got a cat pushing its butthole into my face, which is happening. I'm struggling with like on the goodbye here. And we got a lot of other cool stuff coming out next week. Again, thanks again for lunching with us. And I got to wrestle this cat. Goodbye, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Yeah.